All right, so you're looking into taking your product from prototype to mass production using injection molding. It's a big step. And we're going to be diving into all the key steps to make it a smooth transition.
Yeah, definitely a lot to think about when making that jump.
Definitely. We're going to be looking at an article today called "What are the key steps to transition from prototype to mass production in injection molding?"
It's a good one.
Yeah, it really breaks down the whole process into five core stages. And I think it's going to be super helpful for anyone who's thinking about making this move.
For sure. And we'll be sure to highlight some ways to avoid costly mistakes.
Ooh, yeah, nobody wants that.
Yeah.
So let's jump right in.
Sounds good.
So the article kicks off by emphasizing the big picture, like taking a step back and looking at the entire process. So why don't you walk us through these five core stages they outline?
Sure. So first up, we've got prototype evaluation and optimization.
Makes sense. Got to make sure that prototype is really dialed in.
Exactly. Then we move on to mold optimization and verification.
So taking those lessons from the prototype and applying them to the mold itself.
Precisely. After that, it's all about process parameter optimization, fine-tuning all those variables like temperature and pressure.
Yeah, that sounds like there's a lot of science involved.
There is. Then, of course, we've got to establish a robust quality control system.
Can't forget about that. Got to make sure those final products are top-notch.
Absolutely. And finally, it all comes down to equipment and personnel preparation.
Ah, so making sure you've got the right tools and the right team in place.
Exactly.
So essentially, we're talking about a roadmap that takes us from that initial prototype all the way to mass production.
That's a great way to put it. And by following these five stages, we can minimize those costly mistakes and
Yeah.
ensure that we end up with high quality end products.
I'm liking this roadmap analogy. So let's start our journey with that first stop, prototype evaluation and optimization. What are we really looking at here?
Well, it's all about really putting that prototype through its paces, testing its functionality, its performance, and even its aesthetics.
Okay, so it's more than just a quick glance.
Oh, yeah, much more.
Like, for example, if you had prototype for, say, a plastic gear,
Okay.
what
Yeah.
kind of tests would you be running?
Well, we wouldn't just be checking if it spins. We'd be testing its strength, making sure it can handle the load it's designed for, seeing how it holds up under pressure. We really want to make sure it can perform its intended function flawlessly in the real world.
So you're basically putting it through boot camp.
Exactly.
But it's not just about functionality, right?
That.
We also need to consider things like dimensional accuracy.
Oh, absolutely. We need to make sure that prototype matches those design tolerances perfectly.
Because if it's even slightly off in the prototype stage, imagine trying to correct that when you're mass producing thousands of units.
Ugh. Yeah, that would be a nightmare.
A total headache.
And we also need to think about shrinkage.
Shrinkage?
Yeah, different plastics behave differently as they cool, and that can impact the final dimensions of your product.
So you might need to adjust the mold to compensate for that.
Exactly. It's a bit like baking a cake, You got to account for how much it'll rise in the oven.
I like that analogy. Okay, so we've got functionality, we've got dimensional accuracy. What else are we looking at in this prototype evaluation?
We can't forget about aesthetics.
Right, because a product might function perfectly, but if it looks terrible,
Nobody's going to buy it.
exactly.
Exactly. So we'll be examining the prototype for any imperfections, like roughness, flash, or even those annoying little bubbles.
So you're basically looking for clues that might indicate problems with the mold or the injection molding process itself.
Exactly.
It's like being a detective.
I like that.
And those seemingly minor flaws in the prototype can help you optimize the mold for mass production.
They're incredibly valuable.
Okay, this is fascinating. It's like we're piecing together a puzzle, using those tiny imperfections to prevent major problems down the line.
Yeah, that's a great way to think about it.
So speaking of the mold, let's move on to the second stage, mold optimization and verification.
All right, let's do it.
So this is where we take all those lessons we learned from the prototype and apply them to the heart of the injection molding process, the mold itself.
It's a crucial stage for sure.
So what are some specific things you might do to optimize the mold?
Well, let's say, for example, we had trouble removing the part from the mold during prototype production.
Okay, yeah, that can happen.
We might need to incorporate ejector pins into the mold design.
Oh, so those little pins that help push the part out.
Exactly. They make a huge difference.
It's like giving the mold some tiny helpers.
I like that.
Or what if you noticed uneven cooling in the prototype?
Yeah, that can lead to warping.
Exactly.
So in that case, we might need to redesign the cooling system within the mold to ensure uniform temperature distribution.
So you're not just reacting to problems.
Nope. we're being proactive.
Yeah.
Trying to prevent those problems from happening in the first place.
I like that approach. So you've made these adjustments, you've fine-tuned the mold design. How do you make sure you got it right?
That's where verification comes in.
So running some test productions with the optimized mold?
Exactly. We want to see the mold in action, make sure it opens and closes properly, that the cooling is even, and that the parts are coming out looking and functioning perfectly.
No room for error here.
Nope. Every detail matters.
So mold optimization and verification, it's all about ensuring consistency and quality in every single part.
That's the goal.
Okay. So we've got our perfectly optimized mold. We've run our tests. We're feeling confident. Are we ready to hit the go button on mass production?
Almost. But before we start cranking out those products, we need to fine-tune the injection molding process itself.
Ah, okay. So this is where it gets really technical.
It does.
What exactly are we tweaking here?
Well, think of it like this. You've got your ingredients, you've got your recipe, but now it's time to adjust the oven temperature, the baking time. Maybe add a pinch of salt here or there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm following you.
In injection molding, we're talking about variables like temperature, pressure, injection speed, and holding time. Each one of these parameters can have a huge impact on the final product.
So it's a delicate balancing act.
It is.
Too much pressure, and the part might warp. Not enough heat, and it might not form properly.
Exactly. Finding that sweet spot where everything comes together perfectly requires a scientific approach.
I can see that. So how do you figure out those ideal settings?
Well, there's a technique called design of experiments, or DOE for short.
DOE.
Okay. It allows us to systematically test different combinations of variables and analyze their impact on the final product.
So like a scientific experiment.
Exactly.
But instead of potions and beakers, you're working with plastic and molds.
Precisely.
And once you've found those ideal settings.
We document them very carefully.
Right, because consistency is key in mass production.
It is.
You don't want one batch coming out slightly different from the next.
Nope. We want every single production run to be predictable and repeatable.
So these documented settings become your standard operating procedure.
Exactly.
This is fascinating stuff. It's amazing how much science and precision goes into injection molding.
It's a fascinating process for sure.
So we've got our perfect settings dialed in. Do we just hit the go button and start mass producing?
We're almost there, but first, we need to establish a robust quality control system.
Ah, of course. Because even with a perfectly optimized mold and carefully calibrated process parameters, things can still go wrong.
They can.
So we need a safety net in place.
Absolutely.
To catch those potential defects before they become major problems.
That's what stage four is all about, quality control system establishment.
Okay, so let's dive into that. So before we went to our little break there, we were talking about setting up a robust quality control system. It sounds like this stage is all about being proactive and catching those potential problems before they snowball into bigger issues.
Yeah, that's the goal. We're essentially building in multiple layers of protection to ensure that every single product that comes off the production line meets our standards.
Okay, so walk me through these layers of protection. Where do we start?
Well, it all starts with inspecting the raw materials.
Okay, so we're talking about scrutinizing those plastic pellets before they even go anywhere near the injection molding machine.
You got it. You can't build a high-quality product with subpar materials.
Right. Garbage in, garbage out, as they say.
Exactly. So we check everything. The type of plastic, the color, the consistency, making sure it meets all the necessary specifications.
So you're really looking for any contaminants or impurities that could compromise the final product.
Yeah. We don't want to have any surprises down the line.
It's like making sure you're using fresh, top-notch ingredients when you're baking.
Exactly. Yeah. You wouldn't want to use stale flour or rancid butter.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've inspected our raw materials. What's the next layer of protection?
Well, the inspection doesn't stop there. We also need to monitor the injection molding process itself in real time.
Okay, so we're talking about keeping a close eye on the machine as it's running, making sure everything is operating within those carefully calibrated parameters.
Exactly. Think of it like having a team of highly trained technicians. Constantly monitoring the vital signs of a patient in the ICU.
Whoa, okay, high stakes.
We're using sensors and sophisticated monitoring equipment to keep tabs on things like temperature, pressure, injection speed, and cooling time.
So any of those parameters start to drift outside of the acceptable range, you can catch it early and make adjustments.
Precisely. It's about being proactive rather than reactive.
Makes sense. So we've inspected our raw materials, we're monitoring the injection molding process in real time. Is that it for our quality control system?
Not quite. We still need to inspect the finished products themselves.
Okay, so every single part that comes out of the mold gets scrutinized.
Every single one.
That seems like a lot of work.
It is, but it's a critical step. We need to make sure that each part meets our quality standards.
So what does that inspection involve?
Well, we check everything. Dimensions, surface quality, functionality. We may even run some specialized tests, depending on the complexity of the part.
So you're leaving no stone unturned?
Nope. We want to make absolutely sure that every part is perfect.
Okay, so let me recap. We've got a multi-layered quality control system. It starts with inspecting the raw materials. Then we've got real-time monitoring of the production process. And finally, a thorough inspection of every single part.
That's right.
It sounds pretty robust.
It is. But even with the most comprehensive quality control system, there's always a chance that a defective part could slip through the cracks.
Okay, so what happens then? How do you track it back to the source of the problem?
That's where traceability comes in.
Traceability.
Yeah. We meticulously document every single step of the production process.
Okay.
From the batch of raw materials used to the specific mold number and the parameters of each production run.
So you're essentially creating a detailed history for each part.
Exactly. Think of it like a detective's case file.
They like it.
If a problem arises, we can quickly retrace our steps, pinpoint the cause, and take corrective action.
So if a customer calls and says, hey, this part's defective, you can go back through your records and figure out, okay, which batch of raw materials did this come from? Which mold was used? What were the exact settings on the machine?
Exactly. We can pinpoint the source of the problem very quickly.
That's impressive.
It's all about minimizing risk and ensuring that we can quickly identify and resolve any issues.
This level of detail and documentation is incredible. It's clear that quality control is not an afterthought in injection molding.
It's woven into every step of the process.
Okay, so we've covered four stages now. Prototype evaluation, mold optimization, process parameter optimization, and quality control. I'm really starting to get a sense of the meticulous attention to detail that's required.
It's a demanding process for sure.
And that brings us to our final stage, equipment and personnel preparation. This stage feels like it's all about assembling the dream team and gathering the right tools to make this mass production plan a reality.
It is. We're transitioning from the planning and testing phases to the actual execution of the production plan.
Okay, so what's the first step in this preparation phase?
It all starts with selecting the right injection molding machines.
Okay.
We need to make sure we have equipment that can handle the volume and the complexity of our product.
Right. You wouldn't want to try to mass produce on a machine that's better suited for prototyping.
Exactly. So we need to carefully assess our production needs and choose machines that have the capacity, the speed, and the precision to meet those needs.
But it's not just about the injection molding machines themselves, right?
Nope. We also need to consider auxiliary equipment.
Like what?
Things like dryers to remove moisture from the plastic pellets, robots to automate part handling, and any other tools that can optimize the workflow and minimize downtime.
So you're building a world-class pit crew.
That's a great analogy.
But even with the most sophisticated equipment and a perfectly designed workflow, we can't forget about the most important element.
The people.
The people.
Exactly. At the end of the day, it's the people who are running those machines.
Yeah.
Monitoring the process and ensuring that everything is running smoothly.
So personnel preparation is just as crucial as equipment preparation.
It is.
So we're talking about comprehensive training programs.
Absolutely. We need to invest in our people, give them the knowledge and skills they need to excel.
But it goes beyond just technical training, right?
It does. We also need to foster a culture of quality, teamwork, and continuous improvement.
So it's about creating a team of injection molding experts who are passionate about their work and dedicated to producing the highest quality products.
Exactly.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Building a strong team is just as important as having the right equipment. Okay, so we've got our equipment lined up. Our team is trained and ready to go. Are we finally ready to kick off mass production?
We've covered the five crucial stages, but there are still a few key insights from our source material that I think are worth highlighting.
Okay, let's dive into those. What else do we need to know to make sure this transition goes off without a hitch? Before the break, we were talking about some additional key insights that can help make this transition a success.
Yeah, so throughout the article, there's this emphasis on sweating the small stuff.
Okay, so what kind of small stuff are we talking about?
Well, things that might seem minor during prototyping can become major roadblocks in mass production.
Okay, I see what you mean. Give me an example.
Sure. Let's take removing the part from the mold. You might have encountered a bit of sticking during prototyping, but, you know, you figured it wasn't a big deal.
Right, you just give it a little wiggle and out it pops.
Exactly. But in mass production, that little bit of sticking can lead to damaged parts, production delays, even wear and tear on the mold itself.
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought about that.
It's like a tiny crack in your foundation, you know. Ignore it, and eventually the whole structure could crumble.
So how do you prevent that from happening?
Well, this is where those ejector pins we talked about come in.
Right.
They're strategically placed within the mold to gently push the part out once it's cooled.
Ah, so instead of wrestling with the part, it just releases smoothly.
Exactly.
Every single time.
That's a really clever solution. And it makes a huge difference in mass production.
Okay, so ejector pins are one example of sweating the small stuff. What else should we be paying attention to?
Well, remember those warped parts we talked about? Uneven cooling can create internal stresses, which can lead to warping or deformation as the part cools.
Right, and that might not be noticeable in a single prototype.
Nope, but when you're producing thousands of units, those tiny imperfections add up.
Exactly.
Because optimizing the cooling system within the mold is crucial.
So the part cools evenly, and those internal stresses are minimized.
Exactly. It's like making sure the heat is distributed perfectly in your oven.
Right, so your cake doesn't end up lopsided.
Hmm.
Speaking of precision, another thing the article mentioned was the importance of documentation.
Oh, absolutely. Especially when it comes to those process settings.
Right. So you're talking about documenting all those ideal settings you discovered through testing.
Yeah. Think of it like creating a recipe book for your injection molding process.
Okay. I like that.
Temperature, pressure, injection, speed, holding time. You want to record it all?
So the next time you produce that same part, you just follow the recipe.
Exactly. And you're guaranteed consistency.
Batch after batch.
Batch after batch.
That's pretty cool. It takes the guesswork out of it.
It does. And it reduces the risk of errors.
You're essentially creating a foolproof system.
That's the goal.
And that foolproof system helps ensure those high-quality standards we've been talking about.
Absolutely.
And speaking of quality, the article also really hammered home the importance of traceability.
Traceability is key.
Being able to track each batch of products back to its origins.
Exactly.
Wow.
Like a detective following a trail of clues.
So by keeping meticulous records, you can pinpoint the root cause of any issues.
Exactly.
If a problem pops up, you can quickly zero in on the source.
Whether it was a bad batch of plastic, a variation in the mold, or a miscalibrated machine setting?
You've got all the evidence you need.
We do.
It's amazing how all these elements we've discussed, from prototype evaluation to quality control, they're all interconnected.
Yeah, it's a holistic system.
Each stage builds upon the last.
And what's really exciting is that even with all this meticulous planning, there's still room for innovation.
Oh, that's interesting.
The world of injection molding is constantly evolving, with new materials, technologies, techniques emerging all the time.
So even after you've mastered these five stages, the learning never stops.
It never does.
That's pretty cool.
And I think that's a key takeaway for our listeners today. As you embark on your injection molding journey, remember that it's not just about following a set of rules.
Right.
It's about continuous learning, adapting, and embracing those new advancements.
Who knows what the future holds? Maybe we'll have self-healing molds.
Yeah.
Bio-based plastics.
AI-powered system.
The possibilities are endless.
They are.
Well, that's a fantastic note to end on. A big thank you to our listeners for joining us on this deep dive into the world of injection molding.
It's been a pleasure.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep innovating, and keep on diving deep.